Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning. I'm so happy that you're with us as we continue this green and growing season after Pentecost, as we continue to meet and give praise and thanksgiving to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is good for us to be together. And hopefully you've been seeing some of the vacation Bible school pictures. And if you didn't, hopefully you'll have a chance to watch a few of those later on, because I want to make sure I say thank you to everyone who was with us for Vacation Bible School this past week. I want to say thanks to everyone who helped to plan it. Thanks to everyone who came to help us out with music and crafts and games and safety. We had all kinds of amazing adults who were there to help us out. I want to make sure we say thanks to the kids who came out and gave us a reason to have all of that fun, you know, in sharing the stories of God's love. And finally, I want to make sure we say thanks to God for the story, for God's presence, and the joy that we receive in sharing that love. It was an amazing 3 days. And if you see the pictures and you've heard some of the stories and you ask around and you get all excited, wait till next year. You can come help us then. Just a quick, brief heads-up announcement also. Today's the third Sunday in July, so this evening it is a youth group meeting starting at 6 o'clock. There are all sorts of other announcements in your bulletin, and I hope you have a chance to read through them and discover other ways that you can connect to the ministry that's around us. But we have come together this morning to be in worship, so let us continue that worship by joining together in our gathering song. The song is Thy Word. Let us rise and sing together. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for planting in us the seed of your word. By your Holy Spirit, help us to receive it with joy, live according to it, and grow in faith and hope and love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first lesson this seventh Sunday after Pentecost comes from the book of Isaiah, the 55th chapter. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson comes from the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give you life to your mortal bodies, also through his Spirit that dwells in you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew in the 13th chapter. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and when they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil, and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. That is what was sown on the path. And for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I just read the gospel story again today, we heard, for many of us, yet again, the parable of the sower. Even Jesus calls it that when he's talking with his disciples. In verse 18, he says to them, "Hear then the parable of the sower." So then why is it that we usually think about this parable or hear this parable as if it was the parable of the dirt or the soil? Now, one reason for thinking about this as the parable of the soil is that all of those various soils and what happens to the seed in each of those, it's fascinating. It's also disturbing and depressing and disappointing when we look at our lives And we have to choose about what kind of soil am I today? The path? Whether that's a dirt road or the way you get to the shed in your backyard or an asphalt road like Water Street, the soil on the path is hard. It's packed. Seeds bounce right off of them and then lay there, and it is a perfect snack buffet for birds and other critters. Is that me today? Hard, crusty, impervious to even the smallest thing that isn't all about me. Is that what I am today? Or perhaps the rocks. You know, here there's a little dirt among the stones, a little something to accept the seed and to let it start to grow, but there really isn't enough. There's no way to grow. There's no room for roots. There's no way for branches. There's no way for anything, really. Is that me today? Am I shallow enough that there is no room for the roots of my faith to keep me growing? Is my lack of roots what's keeping me from branching out and bearing fruit? Is that me? Or maybe thorns. Now, those just aren't nice, period. They hurt. But if you're throwing seeds into places where there are thorns, there's a little bit of room to grow, but not enough room to flourish or to thrive. And is that me? Am I beset by the thorns of the world around me, or have I become a thorn to someone else? There may be a little space for roots, but the branches can't grow. The fruit doesn't come. Is that me? Maybe good soil. Yes, please. That's what I want to be. Today, I want to be that. Tomorrow, I all the time. Because in that good soil, there is room for root. There is room to grow. There is room for branches. There is room for fruit and the blessings of all of that. Could that really be me? I hope so. We all know what we want to be. Jesus even knows what we want to be. But we also know what we have been and what we will probably be again. Each of those soils, all of those soils, from the path through the rocks to the thorns to the good soil. So instead of the soil, what I really want us to look at today is the sower. This is even where Jesus is pointing us to ponder as he talks to his disciples, as he talks to us. And so I want us to look at the sower. I want us to look at God and God's attitude towards all of us. You see, when we read a parable of Jesus, we are invited to choose a character with whom we identify. In the parable of the prodigal son, I usually identify with the older brother. In the parable of the weeds and the wheat, I usually identify with the servants who want to go around pulling all the weeds. In this parable, I usually identify with pick a dirt, any dirt, I'm going to be that dirt. But then I see God as the sower. Now, maybe that's the same for all of us, but God is the sower because God is the one who provides the seed for our growth and our growing, whether it's physically or spiritually. He helps us to grow in our faith. God is the one who provides the food and clothing, home and family, daily work, and all we need from day to day. God is also the one who is calling us to follow, the one challenging us to love, the one who cares for us always. God is the one who is spreading around the love and forgiveness, the care and the guidance, the hope and the peace that we look for all the time. It is God who does this. And I am grateful that God does this. But if you've had an opportunity in the springtime to watch farmers plant their fields, you see how precise they are. In fact, nowadays there are even GPS units in the tractors to make sure that all of the seeds go on the field they're supposed to and only on the field they're supposed to. The seed's too expensive, and you can't make any money on something that hasn't even really been planted. And so whether they're planting corn or they're using the little drill thing to go and plant the soybean seeds, it's all a precise operation. That's a whole lot different from throwing seed onto the fields. Because from families living in Tanzania today to the farmers of Jesus' day, they're trying to use as much care in their planting, but seeds are tossed out there. Or else perhaps they are carefully placed one by one in a row to make sure that the planting is done. Whether they had a planting machine or no, the farmers in Jesus' day were trying to be careful and as precise as possible. They didn't want to throw their seeds away. But in the parable, it looks like God doesn't mind. The sower that we see today doesn't really care about where the seed goes, because God's love and grace needs to go out so that eventually paths can become fertile, so that rocks can grow plants, so that sinners and those who have been cast out by the world, so that the forgotten and all of the overlooked ones, for all of those who are trying, well, know God's love and favor always. The seeds need to go out. And so for me, the seeds in Jesus' parable, they are the love of God. They are the goodness and the grace. They are the care and the concern. They are the presence and the peace that comes from God. And so what kind of sower do we meet today? What kind of sower wanders with their bag of seeds across every type of terrain, through all different kinds of soil, wherever they can, sowing seeds across it all? That is the sower we see in today's parable. And that sower is extravagant and generous. There is no place that doesn't get seeds. The sowing is universal. That is the extravagance of God's love. There is no place and no person that is not loved by God. It's not just us and the people we really like. It's all people, even the ones who scare us or make us uncomfortable for whatever reason, the people that we don't like as well as all of those people that we love. It's people who are foreign and local. It's people, regardless of their bank accounts or their dress or what political party they're part of or what denomination they're part of. God's love is extravagant. God is also, in sowing those seeds, exuberant and lavish in all of his love. If you have a chance and you recognize the love of God around us, you can see the exuberance and the joy that comes with it. It is in the world by the handful, with grace slipping through the sower's fingers. So for us and for all people, God's love comes in joy and without care for how much is there, because with God, there is always enough. But the sowing of God, the love of God, is also actual and real. Lives are touched with forgiveness and mercy. Guidance comes and the grace does not ever get wasted. In times of grief and sorrow, when the world around us is abusive and cruel, when we stand confused and unsure, the love of God, the seeds are sown on us for real. It's not a fantasy. It's not pie in the sky and the sweet by and by. It is real and it is true. Even if there are times we don't see it or recognize it, or when even the birds and the critters have taken it away, God's love is still there and it is real. The other thing that we see in the sowing of those seeds is the love of God is always constant. God never stops trying to get the seed to grow. God never stops trying to soften the path and make the stony and the thorny ground more fertile. God can do that. I can't do that, but God can. And the sower in Jesus' stories wanders with that seed and tosses that seed wherever and everywhere. That's the kind of sower we meet today. And Jesus wants us to meet this sower both for our comfort and for our inspiration. You see, whenever I feel rocky, thorny, or like blacktop, Jesus reminds me that God's love still flows even on the likes of me. Jesus is telling us that the sower has hope that our rocks and thorns will be tamed in love and that forgiveness will help grow our faith and our hope as we bear fruit. But Jesus is also challenging us to share God's love as actually, extravagantly, exuberantly, and constantly as God does. Jesus does meet us where we are in our lives. But the challenge is still there. We are still called to love all neighbors, all people, all of them. That's what Jesus does. That's what God, our sower, does. And we are urged to love just like that. It's not only for those we're comfortable with, but also for those who make us uncomfortable. It's not only for those who like us, but even those who are different from us, who we don't understand. We are urged to sow the seeds of God's love, even if that love looks wasted. Even it feels like we're throwing it all away, we are urged to do that because that's exactly how God loves us. We can be any of the soil we hear about today, packed like a path, or rocky, or thorny, or good and fertile. We can be any and all of those soils in any given day. Jesus is hoping that we meet the sower, the amazing, extravagant, lavish sower who loves us all, who wants to work with us to share that love with all people. The question today has been, what kind of sower? My kind of sower. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise. Let us now celebrate our baptism as we confess together our faith using the words we find in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Confident that God receives our joys and concerns, let us offer our prayers for the church, those in need, and all of creation. Guide your church, O God, to sow seeds of forgiveness and righteousness on the soil of this world. Direct your people to proclaim your love in this congregation and throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy, sustain your creation, O God, by sending favorable weather, causing trees and fields to grow, protecting waterways from pollution, and instilling in all people the needs to be good stewards. Lord, in your mercy, maintain peace among all people, O God, and raise up lawyers to work for justice in the courts, advocates to speak for the downtrodden, and politicians to work on behalf of the common good. Lord, in your mercy, heal those who are sick, O God. Guide healthcare workers to care for those who suffer, scientists to conduct life-saving research, and counselors to care for victims of sexual abuse and exploitation. Lord, in your mercy, God of all grace, there are so many people who need your healing presence. We pray for all who suffer illness and injury or with accident and disease. We also pray for these who are known to us and who need your wholeness and health. We pray for Sharon, Sharla, Kristen, Judith, Rhonda, Mac, and Olivia. We also pray for your presence and comfort with the family and friends of Janice Geese and Bob McFarlane. Lord, in your mercy, answer the prayers of those gathered in worship, O God. Protect those who travel near and far, accompany visitors to this congregation, and nurture our faith. Lord, in your mercy, Inspire us by the faithful departed, O God, examples of your embodied love, whose confidence in the resurrection guides us in living lives worthy of the gospel. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray. In the name of the one who reconciled all creation to himself, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord grant us to see what needs to be seen and do what needs to be done. May the Lord bless and keep you all. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you all with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope that your week is filled with blessings as you go into the world with hope.
To make God's vision our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.